Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, fucker. You know, you really should just feel good about yourself. Have a stable, consistent view of who you are. And really feel that from the inside, you know? Have that guide all of your decisions, regardless of the world around you. Regardless of what people you personally know say or think. Be loud. Be proud. Be confident in what you know and what you've seen from the core of your being outward. And don't let life fuck that up. When adversity comes knocking, and it will, do not let it trip you up. Just assimilate the new information and adapt on the fly like the resilient beast you are. Or better yet, rapidly assess and refuse that information based on its complete incongruence with everything that you know confidently. But realistically, without ever letting that discrepant information even touch you. And that's it. It's that simple to be a stable, well-organized, psychologically centered being. Sure. And then there's reality. Yeah. Life hammers and hammers at you. And then pulls out the power tools to really inflict some, let's say, changes to your form. You attempt to steadily weather the storms, but eventually each blow knocks you back, little by little, and then greater by greater. You no longer feel like you're the untouchable captain of this vessel, and dread every new instance of evidence for your incapabilities, which you anticipate will be torrentially befalling you every time you open your eyes. You retreat from life. Over time, perhaps you make some progress in recovering from that worldly and relational beating you took, though. You, for one, stop pounding so hard on yourself. You also regain some sense of control of your brain, emotions, and life through this protective withdrawal that you engaged with. And you start to pull yourself back together, slowly, after much self-denigration for having fallen apart at all. in all of this, you might get tired of what you've been doing. Perhaps some version of a demotivated, largely avoidant lifestyle that was designed around safeguarding your psyche. Instead, you gather up all your gumption, proclaim yourself strong, and set out to show the fucking world. Only to meet some resistance. Immediately questioning everything you were attempting to do and your capacity to do it as you slam into some obstacles. You recognize the foolishness of your prior attempt at striving, roll your legs back up, retreat into your safe space, and sit the fuck back down. Chiding yourself for this blatant attempt at being someone you are not, while derogating that idiot version of you for being so, what's the best word for it? Narcissistic, that you would have ever gotten these wild and whacked ideas in your head in the first place and tried to take life by the horns in this way. Flew too close to the sun, you did. And now you must demonstrate that you learned your lesson from that trial, and you will keep yourself safely grounded for the rest of time. Not realizing, with this thinking pattern of go slow and lay low to stay safe, you may actually be putting yourself underground and calling it living out your days in the only way possible. Which puts us in quite a challenging position, wildly swinging from one end of the disrupted attempts at a cohesive, authentic, and empowered sense of existence spectrum to the other. Never landing in the middle with what we would call a healthy self with a lowercase s. Yeah, fuckers. I'm here. Talking about the oscillations between vulnerable and grandiose narcissism as far as thought and behavioral patterns go, once again. And the unfortunate overcompensation methods that can flip our psyches back and forth between the two psychological states. While, even more unfortunately, we miss the middle target that every single human being is aiming for. Or was lucky enough to create organically in their earlier relational dealings, probably coming from one of those fancy, what we call, supportive and unconditionally loving upbringing situations. So that heralded middle ground that otherwise is so out of reach for most of us would be something called in the literature that we're currently examining, adaptive narcissism, which lies somewhere counterintuitively between the two subtypes of pathological narcissism. Although it isn't narcissism at all, but rather a set of healthy, resiliency-boosting, psychologically stabilizing traits and behaviors. Aspects of ourselves that are so important, in fact, that researchers have posited this so wrongly called adaptive narcissism may not only be a highly protective tool against post-traumatic symptomology in, I don't know, 10 different ways, but that it may also be, their words, crucial to healthy psychological and emotional functioning. As such, yeah, we've been spending some time examining this generally overshot oasis of self-sanity in the in-depth research episodes and community. Patreon.com/traumatizedmotherfuckers. Is adaptive narcissism really the thing that we all need to foster in ourselves in order to rely on ourselves and create positive life outcomes based on authentic understanding of ourselves? Well, The academic literature is pretty convincing. Yes. All of that being said, I understand if your immediate reaction is, no, not biting. We are, after all, implying that some variety of narcissism is the way to be, which probably runs counter to everything you've ever experienced or heard in the broader culture. So let's address that point, which really has a lot to do with everything we're discussing here. And I suggest you tune into the whole hour-long private stream episode on stigma if you're on the market for even more of this discussion. For many of us, the word narcissism makes us shudder and throw up walls immediately. We cannot interact with the word without feeling like we're interacting with the narcs we have come to hate. Adaptive narcissism, one might say, cannot exist. It's an oxymoronic pairing of words. To be narcissistic is to be unhealthy. Therefore, this is a nonsense phrase. So why do we call it adaptive narcissism when I just told you right out of the gates that it's a misnomer? Well, answer, because narcissism, unfortunately, is in the short term adaptive to our traumatic circumstances. Hence, here we all are. And secondly, because adaptive narcissism, as it's being called, is comprised of the beneficial aspects of what we commonly consider to be components of grandiose narcissism, minus the pieces that lead to pathological or malignant outcomes. And while we could simply call this a healthy person or healthy psychological functioning, or a healthy self, that doesn't describe the aspects that we're actually aiming for. We don't know what healthy psychology or a balanced and authentic self is, hence the CPTSD diagnoses. So those words mean absolutely nothing, and they can help us to the same degree. None. Just like me telling you at the top of the show to simply be self-confident and resistant to erroneous information manipulating your thoughts and self-assessments was a purposely useless little speech. In these brains that have been commonly formed by experiences with narcissists, however, we know exactly what these traits mean in the context of not trying to be one, not allowing ourselves to be narcissistic. Which, really, I think, is my major point of this whole month. Yes, there is something called adaptive narcissism in the literature. Yes, we want to aim for integrating aspects of that thing into our thought patterns. And yeah, therefore, that means we probably have some narcissistic stigma to address and tease apart in order to allow ourselves to tap into these critical psychological tools that I don't think we can really understand if not through the framing of narcissism. And this may be the underlying problem with our weak senses of self all along. Our fear of the word narcissism and all the personality traits that we connect it with seem like they may act like blockades that keep us from these important self-supporting tools and adaptive strategies. The research that we've been covering this month tells us point blank, for instance, self-sufficiency, or a sense of self-sufficiency to be more accurate, and vanity are particularly healthy for you. They are shown to correlate with decreased severity and frequency of post-traumatic symptoms, decreased perception of stress, decreased intolerance of uncertainty, decreased emotional repression strategies, and decreased generalized negative affect. At the same time, they're correlated with the measures of resiliency, of adaptability, control, spirituality, persistence, purpose, and total resilience. In other words, self-sufficiency and vanity are defenses against and treatments for life with unhealed CPTSD. Call them protective of or healing of, but either way, the research points to sense of self-sufficiency and vanity as monumental markers of a healthy functioner with greater life satisfaction. Problem being, in order to even absorb or apply that much of what we've discovered in the research, a tiny drop in the ocean, fuckers, a fair amount of negative connotation might need to be addressed as one wrestles with their natural repulsion towards anything considered narcissistic in order to let it into their own psyches. Such as, let's say, the word vanity. Let me give you a hand with that one on this platform. And if you're up for other redefinitions of words, I'm kind of known for it in the private stream's supplemental research commentary episodes. But for one, for today, vanity is actually a sense of pride and accomplishment in what one has realistically done and the way that they present to others. Meaning it's an authentic and accurate perception of achievement and appearance. It's grounded in reality, or else we're discussing something else. Hubris. And we're not. I actually have a little research for you on that distinction, ready for your ears to absorb if they're ready and willing. But the point is, vanity is more akin to self-acknowledgement, embodiment, and validation, with a side of intrinsic motivation driving the whole shebang. It is not the shallow, illusionary, exploitative, socially dependent trait that we collectively, commonly have come to believe that it is. Meanwhile, here's another precise meaning of an easily misjudged word for you. Self-sufficiency. Sense of self-sufficiency might be wrongly defined in the old salt conduits as selfish for you, which is another phrase that we broadly fear and societally loathe. In fact, though, sense of self-sufficiency is about recognizing your personal capacity and being empowered to fulfill your own needs, goals, and preferences. And, actually, also, in fact, selfish is a more and more commonly re-examined and redefined word as being healthy and a critical part of being an adult human with autonomous, beneficial relationships. To be selfish, as I said years ago on this very platform, check it the fuck out, is to be, quote, like yourself and to have concern for yourself, which are both integral parts of being in positive relationships with you and with others. So, point being, yeah, aim for healthy sense of self-sufficiency and vanity in your own world. And despite the hugely negative connotations around these words, which are intricately linked with the also extremely negatively connotated narcissism, this isn't sarcasm. I mean it. Boost those things within you. If you suffer from self-support problems, vanity and self-sufficiency seem to be healing and protective against PTSD. They are correlated so strongly with components of resiliency and positive life outcomes that it is a worthwhile effort to start consciously boosting your self-recognition, putting effort into things that make you feel good about you, and being unapologetic for pursuing these goals that are authentically important only to you from the inside out. You are actually behooved to be a bit what we most easily identify as narcissistic. The most wrong-sounding advice anyone could ever give you. But here we are. So, what else can we safely get narky about, and what traits should we probably avoid? Well, alongside vanity and self-sufficiency, the study in question found authority, sense of superiority, and exhibitionism to be fairly neutral forces on the psyche. They aren't firmly protective or adding to your resilience, but they also aren't throwing you under a bus filled with wrecking balls by increasing post-traumatic symptoms, intolerance of uncertainty, stress perception, negative affect, emotional repression, or any of the other resilience-destroying measures in this study. And doesn't that information start to call into question a lot of the self-policing that you've perhaps been doing around what could be considered narcissistic traits? Look at all these thought patterns, self-assessments, and resulting behaviors that you might be allowed to engage in after perhaps a lifetime of trying to rid them from your being and suffering unknown consequences from doing so. Just don't tap into the less beneficial components of narcissism, the ones that have pathological outcomes or negative results over time that often impact the people around you as well. These traits were found to be entitlement and exploitativeness. These are the non-adaptive aspects of all varieties of narcissism. Exaggerated sense of entitlement and exploitativeness are correlated with reduced resiliency in all five dimensions: purpose, persistence, control, adaptability, spirituality, and correspondingly with total resilience, the sixth measure, as well as higher frequency and stronger severity of post-traumatic symptoms.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lower affect, or more negative affect, stronger intolerance of uncertainty, stronger stress perception, and a penchant for emotional suppression as a regulatory mechanism rather than emotional reappraisal. In the full-length episodes, we delineate exactly what is false entitlement and what is rightful entitlement, as well as discussing the correlation with non-consensual expectation, also diving into how to identify and address delusional entitlement and social exploitativeness issues if you fear that you might have them. But the end message is, don't be a dick. And according to this paper, you'll actually be kind of fine if you function with the other aspects of grandiose narcissism. Hell, maybe you'll be better than fine. You may be psychologically protected and self-reliant in the face of struggle. Unlike another form of narcissism, which doesn't seem to protect you at all. Yep. From this paper, the other major finding amongst the bounty of them is, to me, that you do not ever want to fall into patterns of vulnerable narcissism, which will offer you zero psychological protection benefits and, as hypothesized about previously, appears to mirror or even define what we commonly describe as traumatized living, or living in your trauma, or having a life defined by trauma rather than by you, your goddamn fucking self. Now, we're not going to run through all of the data on low resiliency, poor life outcomes, and vulnarkdom here, but let us say they characteristically describe vulnerable narcissism's correlation with many suffering-filled aspects of being alive with a human brain, such as low authentic living, inability to know what your own thoughts and feelings are, pervasive shame, and hypersensitivity to social experiences that forces one into living avoidantly rather than ever recovering. All of which cumulatively amount to, and I swear to God, this is real, my favorite measure from any study that I remember ever reading, a strongly tenuous sense of existence for vulnerable narcissists. God, it's such a good paper. Anyways, that study from our second real big research episode on the topic is based on the premise that traditional narcissism self-reporting measures capture vulnerable narcissism alongside grandiose narcissism, which is where many tales of the grandiose narcissist have been created and spread to the masses. But in fact, according to this paper, grandiose narcissism is not as correlated with the pitfalls that we expect, such as an exaggerated sense of self, outwardly masking this inwardly weak and sensitive one. Those, it suggests, may be vulnerable narcissist artifacts which have not been addressed sufficiently by the psychological community, as they have been wrapped into our testing measures for grandiose narcissism, and this has really been fucking with our understanding of the term. In doing so, I propose it's also really been fucking with our abilities to help ourselves. Through tapping into the demonized parts of grand narcdom that have been counterintuitively shown to promote recovery. So, let's get a little clearer on this controversial set of findings. What we're calling adaptive narcissism and pathological grandiose narcissism have a great deal in common. Adaptive narcissism is described by a strong sense of self, high authentic living, expression, and defense of their beliefs, as well as high life satisfaction scores. Meanwhile, pathological grandiose narcissists were similarly shown to have more authentic living, a stronger sense of self, and characteristic high approach behaviors that motivate them to continue trying at life despite obstacles. Contradictorily, it's found that vulnerable narcissists do not have the same life-promoting forces operating behind the eyelids as either of these two subtypes. Rather, they sink into avoidance, self-repression, learned helplessness, and secret rivalries. You may have heard me characterize this at the beginning of the episode without so naming it. But this is important to note, because vulnerable narcissism, in my eyes, is what we can fall into if we do have experience with narcissists that have interjected themselves into our psyches, and as a result, We don't allow ourselves to have the self-promoting thought patterns and behaviors that are typically wielded by grandiose and adaptive narcissists, because we've been taught that those are the markers of the nefarious players who have wounded us, and we try to shut those aspects of us down. If we have narc tendencies based on our traumatic upbringings, and we all do, let's be clear about that, but we aren't allowed to utilize the psychologically healthier parts of narcissism, which would be some of the grandiose bits, because we've stigmatized against them, then I believe we can instead get stuck in vulnerable narcissism patterns, thus rotting away in lonely isolation, coercing people around us to be caregivers because we don't believe that we are capable of helping ourselves. If only we could be a little grand narkier in the right ways, we would have opportunity for a better, more authentic fate than any of that. We just might need to be a little more differentiated from the crowd in order to do so. Because, fuckers, perhaps, according to research, the psychologically protective characteristic that is most repressed and most important, yet maybe most difficult for all of us to reconsider our negative reactions and repressions towards, is a sense of uniqueness. Sense of uniqueness was found inextricably linked to adaptive and grandiose narcissism beyond other facets of the self. And furthermore, sense of agentic superiority was found uniquely tethered to what they call adaptive narcissism. Two findings that might make your anti-narcissist walls shoot right back up, per the cultural connotation against these two commonly hated aspects of narcissistic behavior. Which causes us again to say, let's look for the gray tones that exist before we hit a rigid and inauthentic pattern that is in line with pathological or malignant grandiose narcissism. So the truth is, you don't want to be high in having a need for uniqueness, the obnoxious form of the first measure that attempts to drum up social validation of specialness. But is there a healthy way to authentically feel unique and to accurately identify ways in which you might be living an, let's say, elevated experience compared to the general population? I think there is. And it's a good idea to try to foster it in our own lives if this peer-reviewed research has anything to suggest to us. So, pulling all of this together, it suggests that it is critical to, number one, live authentically, express who you are to others, and utilize internal motivation to direct your behaviors rather than extrinsic means. Number two, to validate who you are and what you're doing through healthy vanity and realistic sense of self-sufficiency. Number three, as you do so, identify and believe in the ways that you are different from others to boost your accurate recognition of uniqueness. And number four, here comes the hardest one. Notice the ways that in your realistic uniqueness and authenticity, you might actually be more agentic, that is, more autonomously self-directed and genuine from those efforts than the people around you. You know, without taking that sense of specialness into the territory of false entitlement or exploitativeness, which, as stated earlier, are not healthy for you over time and are not being suggested by this platform. Fucker, I am saying, based on this research, it might be psychologically and emotionally critical for us to do something that we have been stigmatizing and maybe avoiding our whole lives in the wake of dealing with narcissists and stigma against narcissists in our broader culture, which is to feel special in a positive way, which might cause everyone to shudder as we estimate that it makes us into a damn dirty grand narc. But please remember the alternative, which is likely to take over your psyche due to the self-alienation tendencies that run rampant with traumatic childhoods, which is to feel special in a negative way, to feel personally and individually fucked by the universe, aka to probably start to enact some vulnerable narcissism strategies, the ones that appear to be safer than their grandiose counterparts, but in fact may keep you trapped in your trauma, feeling like a broken outsider forever. Allow yourself to feel positively about you and the ways that you are different, fucker. Even though we were always taught that it is dangerous and unpermitted. But what if that was all to keep us in a psychologically unhealthy place rather than ever rising up? In conclusion, fuckers, if you're like me, it might help you to label all of this as being narcissistic. Sure, we can call these things having healthy psychological functioning tools, or building high self-esteem, or learning to be a balanced person capable of intimate and positively fated relationships with self and other. But to be honest, I think the much easier way to stoke these generally lacking traits of sense of self-sufficiency, vanity, self-authenticity, authentic living, self-expression, and willingness to defend your beliefs, sense of uniqueness, and agentic superiority that are shown to, again, be critical for psychological functioning in the face of adversity, is simply to say, let your manager parts, let the rest of your parts be just a little narcissistic, unlike the hypervigilant you policing and shatting upon strategies that they are normally executing. And see how much relief and rapid change that brings to not only your stable, centered psychological station, which is capable of recognizing even a little bit of your unique specialness, but also to the relationship and material realities of your life. And that's it, fuckers. Aim for that increased measure of life satisfaction and positive life outcomes. We put out so much content on this so-called adaptive narcissism topic that is controversial to some. And we're still going, including those brand new, annoying to make, but excellent to view, closed caption videos I'm putting out, so you can read along with each episode, which I'm told is the ADHDer's best friend, if you're a video format kind of person. Check patreon.com/traumatizedmotherfuckers, or go to patreon.com and search traumatized motherfuckers to hit the motherload of information you didn't know that you needed. Hundreds of prior episodes, hours long, and new findings frequently flying down that pipeline. And I'm also really happy to report I'm a fully sane person again who's putting out material that I feel good about, in good part to these most recent papers that we've been discussing, which have felt like not the thing that has helped me overall, but the final integration factor necessary for this brain to click back into a whole version of itself, which includes any real sense of self or self-esteem at all. In other words, if you're wondering if this adaptive narcissism topic crosses over with doing parts work, oh, fuckers. It does. And we're talking through that, too. See you in the fort, patreon.com/traumatizedmotherfuckers. And with that, until we speak again, remember the reality of being a human meat puppet amongst 8 billion others. It can be hard to feel like you stand out. To assess that you're any different from the rest of them. And right now, it is very disappointing to be grouped as such. Bunch of fucking shitbags out there lately. So, anytime you doubt if you are unique, remember that your experience has been impossible for anyone else to fully comprehend. And maybe that's not a bad thing, right? You can take that as a negative point against yourself, as we've been trained to do, to feel negatively special in the way of alienated from our own species. But that's an abuse narrative clobbering you back into a victimized mentality, a la Volnarkdom. You are not wrong for what others have done to you. They are. But you are not powerless. In the aftermath, there's no one else like you. No one else has seen what you have. No one else has gotten through it. No one else would have dealt with it in the way that you have. And therefore, no one else ever could possibly be like you. Only you can pull all of those past versions of yourself together and take all of their nuggets of gold, which they do contain. Because again, look at what a good job they did getting you here, keeping you alive and functioning to the extent that you are still breathing and your life is still full of infinite possibilities. And then march forward based on what your guts call for and based on all of that wisdom that is within you that no one else can claim to have. Literally, no one else can do life the way that you do. And with no need for bullshit human concepts that are extrinsically motivated and absolutely fruitless, such as perception of worth, that makes you pretty fucking special by definition. You're one of a kind, fucker. Get to know that real, authentic, intrinsically motivated self. Learn to feel it and to feed it and to honor it. And when you need a little help, you can call upon an adaptive narcissist to remind you of the scientific data validating all the ways you should. And that's me. Hail yourself with a small s, fucker. And seriously, come check out these papers on the real relationships between self and subtypes of narcissism if you are also prone to shitting on yourself as the right way to be and then wonder why you can't stand back up to escape from the aftermath of your trauma. They will change you, maybe forever. And until then, that's it. Talk to you soon. Thanks for hanging out for this long episode. We got through a lot. And cheers, y'all. Take care.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.